Welcome to The Shrinking Man Project.
The Shrinking Man Project, Episode 14, The Hijack Highway.
Hello again, folks. Welcome to Episode 14 of The Shrinking Man Project. I'm your host, Doc Coleman. Things have been a little rough this week, and I apologize if this podcast seems a little bit rough in the editing. Things have taken up chunks of my time that I had intended to write, and I've kind of had to do this one on the fly. But there is good news. Yes, there is good news. We are back to philosophy this week. Yes, the much delayed, much lamented philosophy segment returns again this week. And, well, let's get into that right now.
On with the philosophy!
This week I'd like to talk to you about a little something that I learned in a leadership class for work. This particular class focused with how to control your reactions and deal with difficult people without letting things escalate out of hand. Basically, how not to react to their aggression with your aggression and make things escalate. And the instructor referred to this as this particular tendency as the hijack highway. The idea is that this is part of the lizard brain, the portion of your brain that dwells on the more of the animal level, below the level of conscious thought. This is the area where, as an infant, really, you learn to react to different things, and a lot of your early reactions are patterned in the brain. And then as you develop and mature, you learn cognitive thought, and you begin to reason and think about things. But when sensory input comes in, it first goes through this lizard part of your brain. And if there's a reaction that's already been programmed in that part of the brain, then it just automatically kicks that off. And it takes an awareness and an effort in the thinking part of your brain to anticipate this reaction and recognize it and suppress it. And she referred to when that sensory input comes in and your conditioned response kicks off, she referred to that as the hijack. You might be talking with someone reasonably and they use a particular turn of phrase that you've been programmed to think of as extremely offensive, and boom, you're on the hijack highway. Now you're angry, now you're reacting and yelling. Well, it occurred to me that this applies to a lot of other things in our lives, that interpersonal relationships aren't the only places where we get hijacked. Have you ever gone driving on a nice summer's day and you've got the windows down? You're driving along and you go past a restaurant and there's all this smell of all the food that they're cooking up. And you were perfectly fine going along, and then you get hit with this aroma of food cooking, and suddenly you're hungry. And there's no reason to it, there's no rhyme. That's the hijack highway. That's that conditioned response where you get the stimulus and you want to follow it up. And it's not just with odors making you hungry. Some of us have certain foods that we desperately have to avoid at all costs, because if we get just the taste of it, just that tiniest taste on our tongues, we hit the hijack highway, and that conditioned part of our brain says we have to eat more. And I suspect this is also part of the way that addiction to drugs and alcohol work in psychologically at first, that you form a conditioned response that you repeat an action in response to this particular stimuli so often that you just keep repeating the cycle. And the problem is that because it occurs at the level below your conscious thought, it can be hard to recognize why you're doing something. This is the kind of behavior where you do something and you don't know why. So how do you deal with the hijack highway? Well, the first step of dealing with it is being aware that it's there. Once you realize that you can be hijacked, it makes it easier. Hello, cat. It makes it easier to figure out when you are being hijacked. And when you realize that something has triggered you and you're being hijacked, once your conscious mind is aware of the fact, you can regain control. What you need to do is you need to stop whatever you're doing. Just stop for a second and say to yourself, this isn't me right now. This is a response from some other time. This isn't what I want to be doing. I need to calm down. I need to think about where I am and what I'm doing and how I need to go forward. And like anything new, it's going to be tough at first. Along with the mental hijacking, some of these responses will have secondary physiological responses, like talking about driving by the restaurant and getting the smell of, or driving by somebody's barbecue and getting that smell of grilling food, and suddenly you're hungry, and that can kick off secondary responses and make you start to salivate, which is going to make you thirsty. So then suddenly it seems very reasonable to find a place to stop and get something to drink and a bite to eat. But you were fine 10 seconds ago. It takes some discipline in order to regain control of yourself and keep from being hijacked. Because while once you become aware of what's going on, you can make the deliberate conscious decision to control how you're choosing to act, it will take a little bit longer to deal with any of the autonomic and chemical responses that your body may have had triggered. But the good thing is that the more often you catch yourself and prevent yourself from being hijacked, the weaker that hijacking force becomes in the future. And when you stop and think about it, you can find so many behaviors that this sits behind. If you're someone who eats when they're bored, that's why you've developed a conditioned response. One of the things that is tough for me to deal with is I might be fine with my food most of the time, but when I go to one of my gaming groups and I sit down to play some RPG, then suddenly I want snacks. And it's not that I want snacks. It's just that after so many years of snacking while gaming, there's that response, there's that expectation that I should have something. And for the most part, I fight that by not having anything. And when I find myself in moments when I'm getting weak, I try to make sure that I can get something that is at least more nutritious, some kind of healthy, low-calorie snack. It's not easy. I mean, I've been doing this for a while, and I'm still fighting some of these responses. Now, the other page of this is that you can also program in good responses. Sometimes that's not necessarily something that you do immediately. One of the responses that I programmed into myself was, whenever I'd go into work and somebody would bring in some obscenely sweet dessert type thing. And of course, they bring this in the morning and they put it out and they invite everyone to partake of it. And usually, by the time lunch rolls around, it's gone. Just because people just graze on it all day. So the tactic that I developed to deal with this was, no matter how good it looked, I said, I say to myself, I'm not going to have any now. If there's still some left when I've finished my lunch, then I'll have some then. And of course, that gives everyone else a chance to eliminate it. And telling yourself, by deferring that desire, you can gain, you know, more control of it, which is more of a demonstration that it is a false desire, the fact that you can so easily defer it. And then the fact that, you know, by the time lunchtime rolls around and I've had my lunch and I go to look and it's all gone and the dish has been cleaned up and everything's been taken away, I don't feel like I've missed anything. Another tactic that my wife found when she was dealing with all the food restrictions that she was on just before and just after the surgery that she had so that she could lose weight, was that she reminded herself that just because she smells it, she doesn't have to eat it. She can enjoy the smells all she wants, calorie-free, but as soon as she takes a bite, then she becomes responsible for what she's eating. And, you know, that seems like a silly thing. To some people, it may still be a dangerous thing if you've really strongly associated that smell with eating the food. But if you can make that mental adjustment, it can be very liberating, that you can enjoy so many things vicariously just through the aroma. Because, you know, something like 75% of the flavor of food is carried on the aroma, which of course is calorie free. Okay, I think that about wraps up that bit of philosophy. Something to be aware of and think about and examine your life in terms of where you've been hijacked and how you need to rework those pathways and where you want to develop new habits so that you can hijack yourself into good behavior. Something to think on for a while, and hopefully will help you get a grasp on some of the issues that might have been tough for you to deal with in the past.
Off to the scales!
All right, time for me to go off to the scales. So, I'll be back in a bit. But first, here's this.
Wake up. Go to work. Work. Come home. Eat dinner. Rot your brain out. Go to bed. Lather. Rinse. Repeat. Are you tired of an old humdrum life? Tired of things that just weigh you down and depress you? Wouldn't you rather just focus on things that are awesome? Tune into Nutty Bites. Find out what's awesome. Nutty Bites. NIMLAS.org/blog.
And yes, that was indeed another promo for Nutty Bites. Nutches has put out a new promo, so I figured I would air it for her. I've been enjoying her show so far. And I know that she's a listener to the Shrinking Man Project, so I'd like to give a shout out to my listeners.
The Weigh-In.
Okay. The Weigh-In. This week, I am 292 pounds. Now, this means I have come up 2 pounds from last week, and it puts me down 128 pounds overall. I'm not really worried about this, even though it seems like a gain. As I said in last week's episode, I wasn't really expecting the 4-pound drop that I got. And honestly, there, especially at the weights that I'm at, on any particular weigh-in, there's usually about a plus or minus 4-pound variance because of the way your body adds and drops weight throughout the day. You can try to minimize that by weighing yourself at a consistent time, but especially if your life is like mine and your routine isn't consistent, you know, you can still have anomalous results. Now my question is this week the anomalous result or is last week the anomalous result? Well, I'll probably find that out in about 3 or 4 weeks. You know, it's not, you don't worry about the individual points. You look at the overall curve. It's also possible that I'm running into a space where I'm going to plateau here around, you know, around and just above 290 for a while. I'm kind of surprised that I haven't really had any big plateaus to date, because, you know, these are things that happen. You start falling into habits and you don't realize exactly what's been going on and how things balance. If I stay here for a while, I may get back to doing some more exacting measuring of my food. We'll see.
The week in review.
Let's see. Actually, my food has been pretty good this past week. Now, I make a habit of trying to eat all my daily points and saving most of my weekly points for the weekend. And I did go a little bit deep into my weekly points in the latter part of last week. That might be part of the reason why this particular weigh-in shows me being up a little bit. That if I'd spread those points more evenly out across the week, that it might have been more balanced. The other thing is that by saving up my weekly points at the end of the week, that gives me flexibility to splurge on something on Saturday or to deal with going out and being social with people and not necessarily having the most ideal food choices set in front of me. It sometimes affects my weigh-ins the next day. I'm still in plan on Weight Watchers, which means I should be losing weight. So there may be other factors involved. I did get all of my exercises done this week, and that felt, it felt really good to finally get back in. And not only did I get all of my exercises done, I managed to get, I got four, I'll call them runs. I'm actually walking, but I'm using Nike Plus to track things, and it calls everything a run. I got four runs in that were under 16 and a half minutes per mile for the average overall rate. And that's a goal that I've been working at for a while and having some trouble with. And it felt so good, not only just to do it once, but to come back and do it again and again. I'm still dealing with some of the transition to my new schedule with my work having moved. I know this week, the exercise I've done this week has not been as stellar as last week's was, and I have been having some issues with not getting enough sleep. So I need to try to work at rearranging some things to try to give me more time. My wife has also recently pointed out to me that I've got all these projects and it seems like I am working all the time. And I need to put more relaxation time into my schedule. Now, I gotta admit, there's some things that I do that may seem like work, but I really enjoy them and I get relaxation out of them. Like the times when I show up on Flying Island Press's galley table. That doesn't take a lot of preparation for me. It just mostly takes showing up, and it's a really fun time. We have interesting discussions. We have hilarious discussions. If you have not already listened to Galley Table, you should go over to Flying Island Press and find the Galley Table podcast category, and you should go to the very oldest episode and you should listen to all the episodes in order. We actually had a guest a few weeks back who did that in order to prep for the show, and he highly recommended the experience of mainlining Gallup Table. Also starting to have preparations for Balticon. This May, Memorial Day weekend, I'm going to be in Hunt Valley, Maryland at Balticon number 45, and I am going to be a panelist. I don't know much about my schedule yet. I do know that we will be having a Galley Table Live podcast recording. I didn't actually propose it in time to try to get on the schedule, but the con does go over the weekend, I am thinking about gathering a group of people to do a Shrinking Man project live, and quite possibly sit down with folks over breakfast and talk about our situations and the trials and tribulations that we've had with weight loss or the whatever other things that we're trying to deal with in our lives. And I've already gotten a few people who have spoken up and said that they are going to be at Balticon and they want to be part of it. So that's probably going to be on Sunday. I have to figure out exactly when closer to, but if you are going to be at Balticon and you would be interested, please let me know and make sure you give me a way to contact you, and we will see what kind of interest we can drum up for this little impromptu recording. Just got taxes dealt with. For those listeners who may not be in the United States, by April 15th, we have to fill out and report our taxes, which we pay in increments as we earn wages through the year. And if you've overpaid what you owe because of various deductions, you want to file as soon as possible so you can get your money back, because otherwise the government's getting interest off of it and you're not. So I just finally finished up my taxes this week. So I will be getting a sizable refund, which is going to be very needed because things have been very tight this year. My wife has been out of work for over 2 years, and despite a number of economic incentives, all of her unemployment benefits have run out, and she still can't find a job. There just don't seem to be much of anybody hiring in this area. Her career path before was in the civil engineering field. She started off as a draftsperson and worked her way up to a designer position. She did a lot of designing storm drains. And the civil engineering industry in this area basically drove itself into the ground by overbuilding everything. They wait until the market has pretty much collapsed before they start downsizing, and then they wait until the people they've got left are overworked before they start hiring back. So we're still stuck in the phase where that market hasn't recovered. Becoming a one-income family has kind of hit us, and we had reserves for a while, but they've kind of drained down. So having this come in is going to be a very good thing. I was actually considering trying to make the Steampunk Worlds Fair this year, but things have been tough enough for us that it looks like I'm going to have to pass on that for this year. So things have been tight for us, and we've had to try to cut back on some things. Unfortunately, it always seems like trying to eat healthy is much more expensive than eating poorly. For some reason, junk food is always cheaper. So that kind of strange things as well. If you are doing better and you'd like to help out, I'm not asking you to help out, but I'm saying if you are so inclined, there is a tip jar on the blog, so you can always, donate to help defray the costs that go into producing the podcast. Also, I've got a store up on Zazzle, and you can find that by going to www.zazzle.com/scalesly. That's S-C-A-L-E-S-L-E-A. And if you go there, you will find a number of t-shirts and caps with the Shrinking Man Project logo. And you can buy a shirt in a size that'll fit you and wear it proudly and tell people about what you're doing to help support the podcast and about what you're doing to make positive change in your life. And I'd really appreciate it. I haven't really advertised the Zazzle store much yet because I'd been hoping to do a bit more with it, but time really hasn't let me. But I hope to be adding some more items to the store before Balticon, so we'll just have to see how that goes.
Lessons learned.
Lessons learned for this last week. I guess one way to put it is that change always leads to a certain amount of uncertain results. That no matter how much you plan for something and how much you develop strategies and expectations, when you actually get down to doing something, well, you're gonna have results that aren't gonna match up with what you were planning. In my case, you know, I had the big drop last week and now a rise this week, and odds are that in the big scheme of things that it's just a hiccup, a bump in the road. It's an unplanned and unexpected thing. A lot of dealing with that is realizing that odds are it is an anomaly, that it's just a momentary unexpected result. And unless you react wildly to it, that odds are it will correct itself and things will progress more like you had planned. That's something you got to be aware of and you got to use your judgment. Darn all this positive life change making you think, right?
Moving forward.
Okay. Moving forward. Thinking, planning. For me, it's going to be a lot of doing some more rearranging my schedule and opening up things. I know that a lot of my work with the Nifty Tech blog has gotten a little bit behind. It's gotten a little bit tough. So I think I'm going to go to the theoretical summer schedule and slightly reduce the rate at which we've been putting out reviews. We actually missed a review for the first time in over a year when my wife went into the hospital. The fact that we didn't have something prepared and ready probably should have cued me in back then that the schedule was too tight and we weren't quite up and ready for it. But I know I've got some folks who are supposed to be working on guest reviews for me for the Nifty Tech blog, and I'm very happy to have folks do that. I'll be happier when they actually deliver them. I'm looking forward to seeing what they've come up with, and I know things in the lives of the people who are who've volunteered to write these reviews for me have changed and delayed their schedules, but it's nice to know that somebody enjoys one of my projects enough that they want to help contribute to it. Even if they do have a tough time contributing it, knowing that they want to does kind of make me feel good, feel kind of appreciated. So yeah, moving forward is replanning and trying to loosen things up and get some more relaxed time in and try to tone the stress down a little bit. Not giving up on anything, but just trying to loosen things up a little bit.
Feedback!
For feedback this week, I know I've gotten some Twitter comments from friends on Facebook encouraging me with the exercise, and I thank you a lot for that. That's been kind of it this week. So I'm hoping that any of you folks that are planning on going to Balticon will drop me a line and let me know if you're interested in possibly sitting in on a live recording on Sunday, or maybe even getting together and talking some other time of the con. I mean, it's a 4-day con. I'm also going to be there for Scott Sigler's Sigler Fest on Thursday before Balticon in the same hotel. So if you're a Scott Sigler fan, then I'll be looking for you, and I'll be looking for your Kraken's jersey too. So let's wrap this up. I'm looking forward to seeing your comments on the blog at theshrinkingmanproject.com. And I would love to receive email from you at doc@theshrinkingmanproject.com. Or if you want to share with the whole class, you can call up and leave a voicemail at 240-745-5022. Or you can head over to Facebook and join the fans of the Shrinking Man Project and lend your support to other folks trying to do their exercise and their weight loss. As always, if you've got a podcast or a project that you've got a promo for, I'd love to hear your promos. Actually, I'd just love to hear about your project. If it seems like a good and worthy cause, I'd be happy to mention it on the podcast. I would appreciate it if folks would leave me reviews on iTunes or Podcast Alley. Tell your friends about the podcast. Maybe wander over to the Zazzle store. Links in the show notes, and at least see what we've got to offer. If you don't want to buy it, well, it's your money, it's your economy. But if you like something, maybe think about picking up a shirt. And I'll see you next week. Have a good week, everybody. Bye-bye.
This podcast is copyright 2011 by The Shrinking Man Project. All rights reserved. The Shrinking Man Project is distributed and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 United States license. That means that you're welcome to pass it around, but you can't claim that it's yours, you can't charge money for it, and you can't make changes to the podcast.
The Shrinking Man Project is a Swimming Cat Studios production. For more information and show notes, go to theshrinkingmanproject.com.
And I suspect that this is also part of the way that to doing some more exacting measuring.
I didn't learn nothing.
How do we sum up the last week with the lessons, with the learning?
And a lot of dealing with that is realizing that odds are it's or you can join the fans of the Shrinking Man Project on Facebook. Let's try that one again.